me to bless somebody else.
To bless somebody
else. Pass the smoking off of my man.
Hearts and the hearts. And every time you bless.
The beautiful thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez,
99.3.
He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you once again for the precious opportunity, my Father, for me and all those under the sound of my voice, Lord, to come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, Father. We thank you for this precious opportunity, Lord, to come in and sit at the King's table and eat the King's food and to hear what you have to say to to the church, Father, in this hour, Lord God. And we count that an honor and a privilege, Father. We don't take that lightly, that you have pointed unto us the golden scepter of the righteousness, stating that we can come into your presence, my Father. But that's your heart's desire, is that your children dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty, where we can say of you that you are our God and you are our fortress. You are protector. You are everything. You are source and you are sustainer, my Father. So, Lord, as we sit at your table, Father, we would ask that you would feed us. Shall it be, and so shall it be. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God, hallelujah. And Lord, listen, every time I say that, I get more and more excited about that statement, you know, as we come to the knowledge of that, what? That we really are mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. That we really are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That we really are your kings and your queens, your rulers in the earth. That we really are everything that you say we are. We really have everything that you say we have. And we really can do everything that you said that we can do. So, Father, lead us into this. Hallelujah. So that we might know that we know that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we are who you say we are, we have what you say we have, and we can do what you say we can do. Hallelujah. So yes, men and women, not just men and women, not just the mere men and mere women, but mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Again, I say this, you really are who God said you are. You might not know it, we might not understand it all. We might not be walking in the reality of it all. But nevertheless, that don't change God's word. That don't alter the word that has gone forth out of his mouth. You know, everything that he say we are, we really are. We just have to learn what he say we are, come to the knowledge of that and what we can do and what we have. Come to the knowledge of that. And then after coming to the knowledge of that, begin to apply that knowledge to our everyday life. Now, in order for us to apply that knowledge to our everyday life, we need not more than just the knowledge. We need the revelation of that knowledge. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us that truth, that reality. So it's not just sense knowledge of who we are and what we have and what we can do, but it's the revelation knowledge that's revealed to us from God through his word, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it's the quality of the knowledge, the revelation of the knowledge that's revealed to us, you know, by the Holy Spirit, that enables us to be able to accomplish that and walk in the reality of that in our lives. And the revelation knowledge that the Holy Spirit will give to us will bring clarity and understanding. So that, like 1 Chronicles said, you know, in chapter 12, they say about the sons of Hezekiah, that was the sons of Levi, the priestly army, who had an understanding of the time and the season, so that they might know what the children of Israel ought to do. So in this revelation knowledge, that we be by the Holy Spirit of who we are, then may we come to the reality of what we ought to do, how we ought to live, how we ought to walk, how we ought to think and be. We have an understanding of that, you know. And, you know, Proverbs says this, you know, get knowledge and get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get an understanding. And it costs you everything, get an understanding. Why? So that you might know the truth. You know, in Psalms 119, verse 104, you know, David wrote this. He said, through your precepts, I gain understanding. But through your revealed knowledge, through your original intent, through the Holy Spirit revealing to us your original purpose, your original intent, your original plan and purpose and destiny for our life. Not just that we was in the beginning and what you revealed to us in after the fall of man, you know, through the law and the prophets and through all the different times and ages in which you dealt with mankind down through the ages, all the way going to coming to the reality of what you really are, your original intent. But that was lost in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man. But Lord, that you, everything that you did, from Genesis chapter 3, all the way to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, how you dealt with mankind down through time, through the different ages, through the different seasons, through the different periods in human history, was all the means to one end. And that one end, my Father God, was to accomplish your original purpose, your original intent, your original plan for the creation of the heavens and the earth and mankind. Hallelujah. 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 So as we come to the knowledge of that, and as we come to the revelation of that knowledge of that that's revealed by the Holy Spirit, then the next step is, man, to learn the functioning principles. Hallelujah. How to apply that, how to apply that to our everyday life, to our everyday living. What? Sets us free. Sets us free from what? From the slavery and the bondage of Satan himself and all his demon cohorts and everything that he set up on this earth to keep us, boy, lost and keep us, man, blinded to the truths of God's word. Set us free from religion, from walking like and living like and dying like mere men and mere women, back into the reality of the everlasting life that God has blessed us with. Do you know that you have everlasting life? And that's a gift from God? Listen, if you have everlasting life, that means you ain't never going to die. That means you're not ever going to cease to exist. You're going to live forever. Even though this physical body goes back to the dust of the ground, and you continue to live. Boy, that is going on in our God. Even after physical death, that don't stop nothing. that's not the termination of our lives. That's just a transition of our lives. Only thing that means is we leave out this physical realm and enter into the spiritual realm. We leave out of this earth realm, boy, we enter into the presence of the Most High God. The Bible says this here, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. They say the Bible says this too, that the body go back to the dust of the ground, but the spirit go back to where it came from. What? The presence of the Lord. Come back from the Most High God. Hallelujah. And see, listen, that's one thing that I can, let me just say this while I'm right here. One thing that the devil don't is, listen, we got to know that we have an enemy. And that enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and what? And destroy what? The knowledge of God's will from your, of your life, from you. To destroy your identity and your purpose and your destiny and your fulfillment of life. He want to steal the knowledge of God's word from you. He want to steal your sovereignty, your dominion, your raw power, all that you are and all that you can do and all that you have. He want to steal that from you and then ultimately destroy you, bring you on home to hell and burn with him forever and ever and ever. That's what the devil come to do. So he come and, boy, to rob this word out of your life. He don't ever want you to find out, boy, about the gospel of the kingdom. He don't ever want you to find out what God is doing. But Jesus said this, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have that more abundantly. You know what life and that more abundantly mean? That's superior in quality and superior in quantity. Life the way God lived and life the way God, watch this, originally intended for you and I to live. And you know how God originally intended for you and I to live? To live in his presence. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. He originally intended for you and I to live in his presence and from his presence. He intended for you and I to live the way he lived, like he lived. He originally intended for it to be in our territory, the earth, just like it is in his territory, and us functioning and operating in our territory the same way he functioned and operated in his territory. That's why he said, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. You know what that simply means? That simply means be like your Father. Be like your source. Be like your sustainer. Be like your dad. Be like your creator. Be just like him. Why? Because that's how he created you. Just like him. In his image and in his likeness. And boy, let me tell you something. The devil coming to steal this word out of your life. The Bible says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understanding it not, then the wicked one coming, boy, immediately to destroy that. Another way he uses to stop it from producing your life is, boy, you don't have much depth. So you hear the word of God, but because, man, it didn't go down into the soul, you know, it didn't get deep in your heart, then it don't have no root. So it don't really produce, you know, no crop. And then some seed fall, man, you know, some of it fall on where the cares of this world and the systems and the functioning system of this world enter in and choke the word of God. And it grow up among the weeds and the tares, and it keep it from producing, man, you know, that up to that hundredfold return. What's that argument, boy? That's the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says if this gospel of the kingdom is hid, it's because the God of this world, that's the devil, have blinded our eyes and hardened our hearts to sin we see not. And here we hear not. What you saying, Arthur? I'll let you to know something, boy, that the devil don't ever want you to discover or rediscover, boy, the gospel of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. What's the gospel of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of God is what God is doing. And his way of doing what he's doing. The way he governs his creation. And what's the kingdom of heaven? That's a territory that God created. God created, first day he created, boy, was a territory, a domain. Why? Because he's a king. And a king had to have a domain, a territory, over which he has power, control, and influence over. So God created, boy, a territory, you know, for himself. And that territory, we know it as the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is simply, boy, what God is doing. Not what man is doing for God, but what God is doing for man. That's the kingdom of God. And God's way of doing what he's doing for man, that's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of heaven is the literal place. And everything that it consists of, all of his attributes, his lifestyle, his nature, his culture, everything that it consists of, man, his territory consists of the splendor of it, the peace of it, the joy of it, the prosperity of it, the divine health of it, the peace of it, the joy of it, the everlasting lifeness of it. You know, all that heaven consists of, our eyes ain't seen and our ears can't even comprehend. But all that heaven consists of, glory to God. That's his territory. That's the kingdom of heaven. And for his original intent and his original desire is to extend that governing influence of his territory to a foreign territory. So he not only created, boy, the kingdom of heaven, but he created, boy, all of the heavens too. The Bible says, the highest heaven belongs to God and the heavens. The highest heavens and the heavens belong to God. The highest heavens, that's his territory. That's his domain. That's his kingdom. Called the heaven. And the heavens, that's the universe. And in this universe, boy, you know, hey, there's a planet in this mad universe, boy, called Earth. The Bible says in Psalms 115, verse 16, they say the highest heaven and the heaven belong to God, but the earth he gave to man. Boy, pray. Because God want to extend his governing influence of his territory. Heaven, he want to extend it to a territory that he created and gave to mankind. That's the earth. But what pray for God? So that it might be in the extended territory that God created for mankind, the same thing that's in his territory. He want to make the territory that he gave us, the earth, a colony of heaven. So that the same thing that's going on in his territory will be going on in the territory that he gave us. But what pray with us? So that it might be, like he said in his word, so that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. And that's God's original purpose, and that's God's original intent for the creation of heaven, the highest heaven, the earth, and mankind, his royal family. For the extension of his kingdom to another territory. That's called colonization. Hallelujah. So that the same thing that's going on, I say it again, so that the same thing that's going on in his territory might be going on in the territory that he extend his governing influence to. And he extended his governing influence to a territory called Earth. His plan of doing that was through a family of sons. That's why he created you and I. The Bible says, listen, he chose us before the foundation of the world. We didn't just begin when God created Adam, man. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, when it says, and God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. What God was doing then was establishing what he already had. Hallelujah. That was his original intent. That was his original idea. That was in his mind before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. That means just like him. That's why he created us in his image and his likeness. Why? So that we can be just like him, holy and without blame, covered in his love. When he chose that before the foundation of the world, before anything. The Bible says we were, also said this in Ephesians chapter 1, he said we was in him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us, watch this, in him. What? When? Where he chose us? In him. Where we was at? In him. When? Before the foundation of the world. So you originated for us from God. In fact, you was in him before there was a year or a day, before a wind or a wave. Before the foundation of the world, you are already in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when he chose that before the foundation of the world, what was that? That was in his mind and in his heart and in his desire to have a family of sons just like him. So we were in him before the foundation of the world. And he just decided that, like I say, when he brought mankind down to the earth and made a body for him to live in. That was the establishment of that. That was the logos. That was the expression of his original idea and thought. That's listen, a thought or an idea is a word too. It's just silent. And when it is expressed, then it's a logos. What does logos mean? The expression of an idea, the expression of a thought, when it's articulated, when it's spoken. So when God began to speak, he was speaking there what was already in his mind and in his heart, in his original idea, his thoughts. Hallelujah. And what it became a word. Hallelujah. And it became the word of the Most High God. So a word is the original thoughts of God. The word of God is the expressed thought of God. What was his original thought and intent and idea? Was boy to extend his governing influence of the territory that he created, heaven, the territory that he was gonna give to mankind, the earth. Hallelujah. 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 What was his original intent and his original purpose and plan? Was to create a family of sons, and through that family, mankind, and through that family of sons called mankind, he would extend his governing influence of his territory, earth, to him. What purpose, daughter? To sum it all up, boy, and so that the prayer that we've been praying all our lives and that we've been taught to pray may man become man's reality, that you and I may walk in the reality of that. What prayer is that? What petition is that? When God said, pray this way, boy. Lord, thy kingdom come. Your governing influence come. Your original intent come. Your plan and your purpose for my life come. Well, here on earth, how? Just like it is in him. But thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. Well, on earth. How? Just like it is in him. How you going to accomplish that? Through us. Through your family of sons. So give us this day on a daily basis our daily bread. Everything that we have need of to accomplish that. Give that to us, Lord. That's the first petition that you pray for. Before you ask for cars, houses, food, clothes, how you going to make it in life and everything else, first request is, Lord, let your will and let your desire and let your way and let your plan and let your purpose and let your original intent come to our lives here on earth the way you planned for it to be from the beginning. From the beginning. What? From the beginning. Not in the beginning when you started, but what you planned from the beginning. Your original intent was, hallelujah, hallelujah, that you chose us, that we were created in you before the foundation of the world, that we were in you. Let that take place, hallelujah, through us. If you want to accomplish that through your family of sons called mankind, then give us on a daily basis everything that we have need of to accomplish that. That's his original intent. That's his original plan. That's his original purpose and desire for all of our lives. What? That it be in our lives here on earth as it is in him. That we be in his image, in his likeness, that's just like him. Ain't he a mighty God? I'm going to say that again. I don't know what to say, ain't or isn't, whichever one it is. Ain't our God a mighty God? I'm talking about a mighty God. And watch this. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. That word holy means just like God, a pure integrity, just like God. And if God is a mighty God, And he created us to be just like him. That boy, he wants us to come to the knowledge that you're not just a mere man or a mere woman or living and dying like mere men and mere women, but that you are the offspring of the Most High God. You are little God in the earth, little offsprings of God, little children of the Most High God, with the same character, the same nature as Almighty God, created in him, in Christ Jesus, to be holy and without blame. Without blame, covered in his love. Hallelujah. But if he a mighty God, and we just like him, that's why I say all the time on this radio broadcast when I come on here, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. This devil, you don't mind you think, well, I'm just a man, I'm just a woman, or I'm just a human being, or I'm just this and I'm just that. No, you're more than just this and just that, boy. You're a mighty man. You're a mighty woman if you're in a female body. Hallelujah. But just like your source and your sustainer, who your father in him, you're just like him. And until we come to the knowledge of that, then we can begin to think like that and to talk like that and to walk like that and to act like that and to live like that. That's why, boy, we need, again, like I said, revelation knowledge. So that the choices that we make every day, man, might result in the reality of God's word being manifested in our lives. Because we are the sum total of the choices and decisions that we make every day. However, in order for us to make the right choices and the right decisions on a daily basis depends on the quality of the knowledge. That's why I say you can have knowledge and you can have sense knowledge. And you can have theology knowledge. But boy, I'm talking about revelation knowledge. Knowledge is revealed to us, boy, by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That go past our five sense reasonings. Hallelujah. And reveal to us, boy, you know, the things of God. The carnal mind cannot know the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. It must be spiritually discerned. And in order for it to be spiritually discerned, then it must be, boy, revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. So God's main intent was to expand in his kingdom through his family of sons to the territory that he gave us called the earth. His strategy for filling them was to fill his family of sons with the Holy Spirit. What's that? That's the governor of him. That, for what purpose, Arthur? So that, boy, we can have divine connection, boy, with him. So that earth could have a connection to him. So that you and I might have a connection, boy, with him, with God. So that we might be connected to the things of heaven, the lifestyle of heaven, the culture of heaven, the nature of heaven. Same with God. Hallelujah. That we might be connected to this. Unbroken fellowship, divine connection. Who knows the things of God or the mind of God except the Holy Spirit? Who can reveal to us what God is really doing and what God is really saying and what God really means except the Holy Spirit? Why? Because he knows the mind of God. He knows the things of God. And unless they are revealed to us by him, then all we have is just a sense knowledge. The knowledge that we derive through our five sense reasonings. But the Holy Spirit, he will reveal to us, boy, things of God, things that the natural man can't even comprehend, can't even understand. So God's strategy was to fill us with that Holy Spirit so that we could stay connected to him, so that we could stay connected to our source and a sustainer, our Father, so that we might know what we ought to do. That's an understanding of the time and the season. And God established that, and God had that. That's what Tennessee chapter 1 and 2 about is. You always hear me talk about on my broadcasts all the time, you know, that the only two perfect chapters in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because in those two chapters, God had what his heart was desired. What? He established, he created the heavens and the earth. He created his territory, the kingdom of heaven, and all the rest of the heavens, the universe, and the earth, And boy, he, his family of sons, glory to God. And then, boy, the extension of his heavenly kingdom to our territory called Earth. What he did, that man, yes, what he did, that was our, that's what God done. What you talking about, Art? I'm talking about, boy, God's originating team, his precepts. What he was doing, man, not in the beginning, but from the beginning. What his original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. What his original idea was for our lives. And in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, he set that up and he established that. And man was on his way to fulfilling God's purpose and destiny for our lives. What? That it might be in our territory, the earth, just like it is in his territory. That's the expansion of his kingdom, his rule, his governance system, his territory to us and to our territory. And he had that. He established that. That's in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Adam and Eve were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. No sin. No separation. None of that. It was just him and Father. Listen, I'm going to say this right here. This might not go over too good. But there wasn't no apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, church service, prayer meetings, Bible study, singing, praise. It wasn't none of that. The way we know it here today, that wasn't going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. What we're doing here today, that's a product of the fall. But from the beginning, hey boy, listen, God was walking and talking with mankind in the cool of the day. That's personal relationship. That's a personal relationship. Thank God for the corporate relationship. But what God wants more than anything else is, boy, to walk and talk with you, boy, all the days of your life. He wants you to know that, man, he's with you wherever you go. But you might take focus and confidence and all the things that you do, knowing that, boy, just like Jesus say, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Why? Because he knew something was. That, boy, God was with him and in him no matter where he went. Even in death, he knew that, boy, God was with him. And if God be with us and for us, and he is, then that'd be more than everything that's in the world, the whole world against us. Even mankind's greatest enemy, death. Hallelujah. That's why I said earlier, boy, you got everlasting life. You ain't ever going to die. You're going to live forever. Not your house, not the body that you live in, but you. That mighty man and that mighty woman of God that you are. So God established that and expanded his kingdom to the earth. And then in Genesis chapter 3, then, boy, something happened, man. You know, a disruption came in the plan. And, boy, listen, man, God lost his kingdom. And God lost, and you and I lost, boy, something, you know, in the loss of God's kingdom on the earth, boy. Really. What happened in Genesis chapter 3? That's the loss of that kingdom. What mankind lost? That kingdom. That authority, that power. Because watch this. When God created mankind and gave him dominion over the earth, boy, this is what he said. He gave mankind an assignment. What was the assignment? You know, and the strategy, you know, for accomplishing that, you know, the assignment was have dominion over all the earth. Everything that comes from the earth, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth on the earth, and over all the earth. So what was mankind mandated assignment? To have dominion. What's that? To govern, to rule, to control. To master, to lead, and to exercise authority, word, over this territory called earth, to govern it, hallelujah, to govern the government of God. What's the government of God, boy? The rule of God, the command of God, the word of God, to carry out God's plan and God's will and God's intent and God's purpose for all our lives. What was that, Ben? You know, that's what he gave us for dominion. What's dominion? The right to govern, to rule, to control, to master, to lead, to have authority and influence over, boy, the territory that he gave us, all the earth. In Genesis chapter 3, mankind failed. Now watch this. We didn't fall from heaven. Hallelujah. No, we came down from heaven. We originated in heaven. Because we remember what we said? We was in him before the foundation of the world. And where is our Father? Our Father which art where? In heaven. So we originated in heaven. We came down from heaven. We didn't fall from heaven. God brought us down from heaven and formed a body for us to live in so that we could have that dominion over the earth, so that we could fulfill our assignment and our mandate that he gave us over the earth. What? To be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth just like the territory that you come from. Heaven. That's our assignment. That was our mandate. To do what? Not just to have church. That's all right. Everything's going on and everything else. But that's a means to an end. What? To get you back into God's original intent and God's original plan and purpose for your life. And what was that? That's to dominate this earth. To govern this earth. To rule this earth. To master this earth. To lead this earth. To have authority and control and influence over this earth. Impacting it with the original will and intent and plan and purpose and destiny of God's plan and purpose for our lives. Hallelujah. And when mankind failed, he lost his dominion. He lost his governing authority. He lost his rule, his kingship, his mastery, his leadership, his authority, his control over what? The territory that God gave us, the earth. So we lost the kingdom of God, the governing influence of God over the territory called earth. And as a result of us losing our dominion, we didn't just lose our dominion over it. We forfeited it and handed it over to a wicked angel who went bad, an unemployed cherub, the devil. And the devil plunged our earth, our territory, into what we have here today. Instead of it being on earth as it is in heaven, it's on earth as it is here now. Why? Because the governing influence and the governing system that's upon this earth now today is motivated and influenced and set up, boy, by the devil. How is he able to do that? Because the dominion, the thing that God gave man to fulfill his assignment was to make it on earth like it is in heaven. What was that? Dominion, governing influence over the territory. Then Adam gave that governing influence, that dominion, to the devil. And the devil, man, plunged our territory into what we have here today. Good and evil. He got a lot of good in his earth, too. But he got a lot of evil. And even though he got good in his earth, man, the evil still, boy, overrides that. Why? Because the earth is no longer governed and influenced by the kingdom of God, the governing influence of God, the kingdom of heaven, but it's governed and influenced by a wicked angel who went bad. The dominion that Adam them gave, man, the devil, the dominion that God gave Adam and Eve, they forfeited that dominion and gave it to the devil. He committed high treason. He gave aid and support to the enemy of God and the enemy of mankind. And you know what the penalty for high treason is. Death. In other words, he rebelled against the known will of God. Adam declared independence from God. The devil deceived them and tricked them into believing that they could accomplish everything that God had told them that they could accomplish in and of themselves without God. So Adam and Eve, by the decision that they made, willfully disobeying the known will of God. What? God told them, don't eat off that tree by the knowledge of good and evil. Because when you eat off that tree, you're going to separate yourself from me. You're going to separate yourself from me and the most important person man in the earth. That's the Holy Spirit. Who is he? He's a divine connection between God and mankind and between heaven and earth. So if you lose the divine connection, man, you know, the Holy Spirit, then you don't have no more communication. You don't have no more connection with God or with him. So it's impossible for us to carry out our assignment if we no longer connected to our source and sustainer. put it that that's the Father. That's the source. What's the Father? He's the source and sustainer of everything. What's the Son? That's His word. That's His spoken idea. What's the Holy Spirit? That's the connection. The connection, man, between God and man, and the connection between heaven and earth. So if you lost the connection with God, no more communication with God, and no more communication with heaven, then it's impossible for you to carry out the assignment. That's why mankind found himself out of that place that God set him in, out of that environment, that atmosphere. It was known as the Garden of Eden, out into the wilderness, separated from God, separated from his source and his sustainer. What was that? That was the loss of God's kingdom. God's strategy, man, you know, in the redemptive work that he did through his son, Jesus Christ, his strategy was to come to earth himself. Hallelujah. What was his strategy after the loss of that kingdom? To come to earth himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and pay the purchase price for the rebellion or the sins of mankind. What was the price for that? The penalty for sin is death. And it's in our Constitution, the Bible. It's in Leviticus and in Hebrew. They say without the shedding of blood, then there's no remission of sin. So God's strategy was to come himself in the person of his son and pay the purchase price to redeem our life from the destruction that Adam sold us into, boy, and to restore back to us what we lost. What we lost? We lost our dominion. We lost our governing authority. We lost our crown, our kingship, our ruling authority, our mastery over, our leadership over, our authority and control over our territory. So, boy, God had to come himself. And, boy, and the price of redemption was, boy, death. Hallelujah. That was the necessity. You know, so God's intent was to come himself in the person of his son and clean us up from all our unrighteousness, all our sins, all our rebellion, man, so that he could restore us back to our original place. That's why I said, boy, the only thing that can cleanse us up is the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So he came himself, boy, a spotless lamb that was slain even before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So God already got a plan. God already got a purpose. And even though, boy, God lost his kingdom and lost his family, man, that don't mean that God, boy, plan it ain't no more good. Sometimes, listen, sometimes his plans change, but his purpose is eternal. His purpose will never change. His purpose ain't going to never, man, go away. His plans of accomplishing his purpose sometimes change, but his purpose is eternal. What his purpose is again? To extend his governing influence of heaven to earth, man, to our territory, through us, his family of sons, so they might be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven, forever and ever, and ever and ever. That's his purpose, and his purpose will never change. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Sovereignty, dominion, and law of power. What we lost? We lost that. What? Sovereignty, dominion, and law of power. What we lost? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What would God's strategy to come forth to this earth himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and to cleanse us up from all our unrighteousness, to restore the kingdom back to us, to get it back, to restore it back to us, to restore everything that we lost back to us. So his main priority, or his number one priority, was not the cross and not the, his death and not his burial, boy. His main priority was the boy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's his main priority, Arthur? His man to restore back to us what we lost. What we lost? We lost, boy, the connection. We lost the Holy Spirit. We lost, boy, the divine connection between God and man and heaven and earth. And what, boy, God was doing in his son, through his son, Jesus Christ, regaining that back to us, regaining that back, and restoring it back to who it rightfully belonged to. That's you and I. Hallelujah. That was the purpose for the blood, to cleanse us up from all our unrighteousness. Now, the only problem with that is, you know, God had to do it, boy, in a way to where, boy, I'm talking about, man, the blood had to be, man, pure and holy. It couldn't be through an ordinary man, because mankind's blood is contaminated. So his blood could not cleanse us from our sins. We could not regain ourselves. We could not, boy, recover ourselves from the disobedience of Adam. Because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we were lost and without hope, the Bible says. So God came himself in the person of his son, man, and provided, boy, a pure and qualified body. That's the necessity of the virgin birth. That's why, boy, you said in Isaiah, boy, a virgin shall conceive and have a child. And then later on, that was in Isaiah chapter 7, and in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, boy, unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulders. What he come with? He didn't come with a religion. He came in bringing back the governing influence of heaven back to the earth. He came in bringing back, man, the governing authority of God, man, the plan of God, the original plan and intent and purpose of God for our lives and mankind's lives and the creation of the earth back to this earth. He came in to bring back, man, our true identity, who we really are, what we really have, what we really can do, and the revelation of that, so that we can get back on course toward the original plan and purpose and destiny that God has for our lives. So the blood had to be efficacious. It had to be pure and holy. It couldn't be stained by sin. So he, through his word, boy, a seed of his word, boy, spoke to a virgin man, and that virgin received that seed and conceived that seed, and that seed became, man, a man. Called him Emmanuel. What that? God with us. What he coming for? He coming, man, to regain his kingdom that he set up on the earth and to restore it back to who he originally belonged to, who he came to. Who? That's us. That was ours before the foundation of the world. I told you he chose that before the foundation of the world. But the Bible says this, come you who are blessed of your father and get your inheritance. What's that? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you when? Before the foundations of the world. So that's what, boy, you know, what you're talking about, Arthur. I'm telling you, man, hoping that I can share with you and bring clarity and understanding to the message of the Bible. Understanding, man, the message of the Bible. Understanding, man, what God is doing in the earth. Understanding what the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God again? Man, God's way of doing things. What God is doing and his way of doing what he's doing. What's that? That's the kingdom of God. Well, what's a kingdom? A territory over which a king has governing influence and authority and power and control over. What he's doing, boy, is establishing, man, with the kingdom of God the back up on the earth. So through the man, the spotless lamb of God, the blood that was not contaminated, then he was able, man, to pay the penalty for all our sin, and the righteous demand of a just God was met, and he came, bought the kingdom, established it on the earth. How did he establish it on the earth? He preached it. That's why I say you read your Bible, boy. That's why the devil don't ever want you to find out about what Jesus preached. He don't mind you find out what who he is and what he did, as long as you don't never come to the knowledge of what he seen. Because he put his word above his name, above everything, man. And the devil don't ever want you to find out, boy, like I told you, the word of God. He don't ever want you to know what God has done. That's why most believers, man, in our churches, they don't know the Bible. Most believers don't read the Bible, you know, because they don't have an understanding of the Bible, because they don't have an understanding of the time and the seasons. That's why God set up in the church and gave us gifts, the fivefold ministry. What? For apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. What? To perfect you the saints. And after God has redeemed our life from the destruction and regained his kingdom and restored it back to us, now we got to learn the functioning principles of it, how to operate in it. Why? Because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And all we knew to do was what was conducive to our sinful nature, you know, because that's how we were born, conditioned, and trained. Now we got to repent. We got to change everything in our thinking first, our mind first. That's what repent means. Be prepared to change your whole philosophy, your whole way of doing things, your whole way of seeing things. Why? Because you were born and conditioned to think and to act and to live according to this natural world. And all the time you were originally born and created to live and to think, boy, in the world that God created for you. What world was that? Again, I say that was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when God was walking and talking with mankind in the cool of the day. So that we could get back on course. What the redemptive work is, so that we could get back on course to God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our life. What was that? To reign in life. To rule in life. To govern this earth with power. How we govern this earth? Man, through the government of God. What? Through the ruling authority of God. Through the word of God. Through the laws of God. The laws that he set up upon the earth. Not just the law that he gave Moses. Man, that was 2,000-4,000 years after, man, you know, Adam failed. You know, but he gave man, Adam, man, in Genesis 1 and 2, he gave them some original laws. What was that? That's the law of life. Hallelujah. What's that? That's the word of God itself. What's the law of life? And God said. In him, what's that? That's the word of God. And in him was life. And the light was the light of man, and the darkness couldn't put it out. But that's the primary law. That's the number one law in the kingdom. What the king say, that's what it's going to be. Hallelujah. What? The word of God. That's the law of life. What God said. And that'll push out darkness. That'll push out anything that the devil said, the devil did, man said, man did. That'll put all that out, boy. That light will shine in that darkness, man. And the darkness won't be able to put that light out. Why? Because that's the primary, that's the number one law in the kingdom. What? Boy, the law, the word of God. Hallelujah. And that was, boy, and then after that, boy, there's another law in the kingdom, man, called the law of faith. What's that? Boy, that's faith in the word of God. That's trust and confidence and belief in what God's saying and what God is doing, his way of doing it, as he brings us to the knowledge of it. Then we must exercise, boy, trust in that and confidence in that. What? The word of God. Why? So that we can learn how to apply and appropriate it in our lives. For what purpose? So that, man, we can begin to reign in life. Instead of circumstance, situation, and symptoms dictate to us, and we flip that script and begin to do like God originally intended for us to do, what? To have dominion, power,